Hey, Jeremy Cohn.
Yeah.
You did a show with a man who had a Hall of Fame vote, Scott Garceau.
Yep.
What is the one thing that you're not supposed to include in the Pro Football Hall of Fame vote?
Anything off the field, which sometimes a human element takes in, you got to take it into consideration because I always say Darren Woodson, and I feel so sorry about that.
He's a Hall of Famer.
Darren Sharper, though. Yeah. Darren Sharper was, you know.
He's a Hall of Famer. Should be.
Yeah, he should be. But what he did off the field, drugging women and raping them and all the things that happened with that situation, he did not get voted in. And that's the first time that I've seen off the... Remember, OJ was already in before all this other stuff happened.
You can't un-Hall of Fame him.
Yeah. And it is
an eviction.
It is a Pro Football Hall of Fame. I heard Tony Kornheiser arguing of whether Anthony Davis is a Basketball Hall of Famer. Of course he is. Of course he is. Because it's basketball.
Basketball, yeah.
With Pro Football, they strictly state you're not supposed to look at anything off the field.
But having said that, do you think this will come into play with Justin Tucker when it's time?
Oh, man. I think it has to. I think for some guys it won't. They're going to look at this. And because it's not as... I mean, the Darren Sharper thing, he was found guilty of all this stuff. You know, like, it's...
Yeah, he was found guilty, yeah.
And
he's still in jail, right?
Yeah. Maybe this is a little bit different because it's like, okay, there was a criminal... Or it wasn't a criminal case. There was a civil suit. I ultimately think he gets in. I think he's the greatest kicker I've ever seen. But I also think he's a jackass.
Ed, if you're a Hall of Fame voter, do you take this in consideration? I know you're not supposed to, but do you?
I mean, probably. I just think you're not supposed to. But you're not supposed to. You're not supposed to. And I don't think it's fair to do that because it's supposed to be what happens on the field. You're supposed to keep all of that out. And I would do my – I would not. I would not take it into account because you can't do that in, you know, in trials. You shouldn't be able to do it here. If they give you the rules, that's the – listen, you know, you mentioned O.J. Simpson. Jim Brown wouldn't be in there either.
Mm-hmm.
Jim Brown was arrested a half dozen times for domestic violence.
I was just scared to bring this up.
He had to beat the crap out of him. He threw it off a balcony.
Yeah, we didn't get to talk about this, but like even when Ed said that to me, because I love Jim Brown, and I talked about one of my favorite interviews of all time, because, I guess because it was so surprising that I had his cell number and called him, and he came on, and I interviewed him for 30 minutes. I blew off the commercial break because I was just having a great time.
It's Jim Brown, man.
Yeah.
Jim Brown.
But when I was talking to Ed about it and he told me that story, like I joked, like, yeah, it was only the second floor, though. Like, obviously joking, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that
I was just one of
him.
Them.
Yeah,
he locked up about six times for domestic violence. So I mean, you know, it's one of those guys. Like,
I was just wondering why my.
I hope she doesn't say anything she's not supposed to.
No, somebody just. I should have played the other voicemail. Somebody just left me a voicemail, thinking this is someone else's phone, and I played you the other one where the woman's like, "Mr. Richard, we haven't heard from you in so long."
Oh, bill collector.
No, it was a nice little lady who's just talking. I just want to make sure you're okay, Mr. Richard. I'm like, I'm not Mr. Richard. But that's what just happened.
If I'm a Hall of Fame voter, number one, all honesty, take myself out of Baltimore, it's got to be the right ballot for me to vote in the kicker.
It's got to be right ballot. That's all different. Thing,
however, this would not cause me not to vote for him. If the ballot was right and it was stacked in his favor, I'd vote for him still. I hate to say it, I would. Because if the rules say I'm not supposed to take the off the field, see, I take those things seriously.
So do I.
Very seriously. So if you're telling me the rules suggest, like if I was a juror, and the judge said scratch that from the record, yeah, I'm going to remember it, but I'm also going to play the scenario with that scratch from the record.
Yeah.
So if you're telling me as a voter I'm supposed to scratch that from the record and the ballot stacked in his favor, then yes, I would vote Justin Tucker as Hall of Famer.
Me too, because you have to abide by the rules. I mean, if you want to be a Hall of Fame voter and you're serious about it and that you want them to take you seriously as a voter, I think you have to obey their rules.
And see, this is what I have a problem with voters, especially baseball voters. They write their own rules.
Yeah.
You know, they write their own. It's like, Jeremy, it's like these local high school leagues.
Mm-hmm.
There's a National Federation of High Schools that has rules. And then these other leagues, local leagues, write their own rules. Well, wait a minute. That's not, you're adding rules to it and you're making things harder. Same thing with some voters. Voters create their own rules, adding to the rules that exist.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, you are the one that screw up the integrity of the voting system when you add your own rules.
Absolutely. Yeah, and they do. And that's my, you know how I feel about that. writers, you know, only people who, it's ridiculous. It's just ridiculous. And then they make their own rules, and then they don't, you know, the whole thing with no one gets in on the first ballot, you know, no one's, come on. I love people who take themselves too seriously.
I mean, I talked about this the other day with voting. I don't think fans should vote on all-star games and players that deserve to be there, especially if they have bonuses in their contracts that are tied to it, clauses in there that you get certain things. That's why I don't think fans should vote for it, even though it is just an exhibition game, no matter how they want to sell it. And the same thing with this. Like, there should be somebody that's taking inventory on all these votes and who's being a jackass and who's using this just for their own personal benefit or power.
And you shouldn't keep that vote.
And then they should get rid of them.
Yep. Shouldn't keep that vote. 410-583-1057. That's the number. Like in baseball, where's the rule that says you can't vote for a guy that used steroids? Where's that rule?
Mm-hmm.
You created that rule yourself.
Yeah.
Joe, we got texts.
This is from an unsigned texter. You guys are cowards. You have no credibility. So you're telling us you're not sports journalists. You're just PR people for the Ravens and Orioles.
What the hell?
I don't know. There's people like to say stuff like this and then not sign it or call
Wait a minute.
So.
Well, how are we PR people for the Ravens means, when I though. Said I, yeah. I my our stance collectively is this 10-game suspension is BS because he's not on the Ravens. How does that make us PR people?
Here, give me that guy's cell so I can text him back personally. You know what? Sign your damn text. Why are you such... Everybody hides behind a fake picture on Twitter.
Yep.
Everybody hides behind these fake emails and all these things that go on. Like, literally, the person that just called me was somebody trying to find out if their boyfriend was cheating on him. I guess he's cheating on her with me. They live in Nebraska, too. It's amazing, man. Like, but this is something where you get these texts from people... You're a coward. Call in. Have an argument over it. Tell us what we did wrong instead of making some freaking blank statement here. Oh, you guys are mouthpiece. How the hell were we a mouthpiece for the Ravens?
When we said the suspension is BS, how can you suspend a man who's not on the roster? His suspension, in my opinion, Ed's opinion, Jeremy's opinion, who we all came to this individually on the show is his suspension should begin when he's signed. How is that a PR stat? Shut up, man. Let's go to Kenny in Baltimore. What's up, Kenny?
How you doing?
Doing well. How are you?
What's up, Jeremy? Apple cider vinegar, man.
Oh, what's up, man?
Anyway, the way I look at what I want to know is this before we go to this. If he had retired, wouldn't it have been better for him? Because I always thought if he had retired, they would have left him alone for a while until this came up now.
They wouldn't have. So they would not have. They would not have.
What would they have done?
They still would have. They would. Their suspension would kick in when he unretires. NFL ain't going to forget this. NFL would not forget this. Was he? You think he's going to retire for 2 years, come back, say, surprise, I'm back. And the NFL going to say, go ahead, go play. No, man. They're not going to forget it because as soon as he unretires, everybody's going to remember why he retired and what happened. And the NFL is going to have to speak to it then. He can't retire and hide from this.
No. And again, like with all due respect, Kenny, I think it is something where you could try to retire and get out of the spotlight.
Yeah.
But if the story comes out, they still have to follow through and issue the suspension. Because what happens if you say you retire, they don't suspend you, and then you go, psych, I'm unretired. We've seen guys unretire all the time. Just look at boxing.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
They never retire until they're forced to retire.
I don't think they're retired until they're in the ground.
Joe, you got a name for the texter?
Yeah, his name's Mike C. He said, bring it. Still won't call in, but...
Because you're a coward, Mike C.
You're wrong.
I don't know. Maybe he's saying text him.
How is this a PR move for the Ravens? That's the part I don't get.
Because you don't have any ammunition to argue. That's why you're not calling in.
Give this guy too much attention.
It's all right. You can get all the attention. I got time today. I just hate when people write, I almost cursed again, stupid stuff.
Well, call
like that.
We have his number.
Call in, Mike C.
410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. We'll take one more. We got Cordell on the other side. Kevin in Ellicott City. What's up, Kevin?
What's going on, fellas?
Not much. Thank you.
I think just in the end of the day, the NFL's about community as well, Rob, so... I just think that this is going to be held against him, and I ain't going to lie, I'm not sure how that'll work with his Hall of Fame bid, but unfortunately Tucker's actions out in the community will have an effect on his invitation to Camden, my opinion.
Probably true.
Hey, thanks a lot, my man. 410-583-1057, Shovels at 830. But on the other side, Cordell Woodland will weigh in on this Justin Tucker situation and maybe on some Orioles. First 81
Call in,
games.
Mike.
81st game is tonight. See what Cordell gives the Orioles in terms of grades. Baltimore's big bad morning show on the Fan. Shovels at 8:30 right now joining us. Our man on the scene, courtesy of the Window Nation guest hotline. The man right here, Cordell Woodland. What's up, Cordell?
What's going on?
Nothing much, man. Talk about this Justin Tucker thing. I said it. These guys said it as well. I'm okay with a 10-game suspension. That's fine. I mean, whatever you decide. But how can a person serve a suspension when he's not on a roster?
Yeah, that's kind of weird. I've been trying to think if that's kind of the norm.
No.
But yeah, it is kind of weird. The 10 games, I mean, I felt like that's no slap on the wrist. We've seen them give out, you know, 6 games at times, and these guys they'll dispute it. But the 10 games, I thought that was pretty hefty. That to me lets me know that they found something, because they don't just hand out 10 game suspension. So it is a little weird. And I said it on, you know, Fresh Take last night with me and Ben, like I'm not totally convinced that we've seen the last of Justin Tucker on a football field. The kicker position is so fluid, and last year should have shown us just seeing how many teams went through kickers last year. I mean, somebody will give him a shot. I'm not completely convinced that he's kicked his last football.
We just talked about, you know, him with playing this year. Also, you think post career, when it comes time for, you know, Ring of Honor, Hall of Fame voting, things like that, how much is this going to? You're not supposed to take into account, at least for the Hall of Fame.
You're not supposed to. I'm not sure how this will go, to be honest with you. I really don't have a complete pulse on it, because this is a guy that had a clean sheet until he didn't. Yeah. And, you know, he was a guy that had a really great reputation. His on the field, you know, stuff was A1 up until the last couple of seasons. I still think he has the football resume to be a Hall of Famer. I think that he'll still get in. Now, the Ring of Honor, I wouldn't be surprised if that happens eventually, maybe a little longer than it initially would have happened. But you look at the statement that the Ravens made when, you know, they released him. It was pretty supportive of Tucker's highlights of his career and what, you know, the thought of Justin Tucker was before all of this. So I wouldn't be surprised if at some point down the line, you know, the Ravens kind of look past this and he gets in the Ring of Honor as well. I just think it'll take some time.
Now, as far as, you know, we've kind of talked about Tucker ad nauseum, but now the Ravens got to make this switch and focus on a new kicker and kind of try to move past this. What are your thoughts on the next era for kickers here? Because the one thing I've said about the Ravens is, or fans, you really haven't had a bad kicker almost the entire time this team's been in Baltimore. So now we get to find out what Loop's going to do.
Yeah, I mean, anything could happen, honestly. I mean, we haven't seen a lot of Loop, but to this point, what we have seen hasn't been enough to, you know, assure anybody that he's the guy, that he's going to be the guy for the next 10 years. We don't know that. And the average team has to cycle through multiple kickers. The average team has to contemplate at some point whether or not they want to move on from the kicker that they have because he's missing kicks or what have you. So the Ravens haven't been in that position. You look around the league, just like I said, this past season, it was a lot of shuffling of kickers, mainly due to injuries, but also guys just not performing up to par. And Tucker has spoiled, you know, this team. And really, like you said, even before him, they know how to have long-term kickers, which is just not usually the norm in the league. So I am curious to see if the Ravens have to start dealing with a kicking issue that almost every other team in the league has to deal with on a yearly basis.
Hey, before we let you go, Cordell, we're running up on time, but we kind of teased it. Orioles, 81st game of the year tonight. What grade do you give the Orioles for the first half of the season?
Oh, man. And I'm having trouble giving them anything more than a D- right now. Injuries are the injuries, but You're getting flirting with a no hitter three times in five games. This is an offense. They should be better than they are. I get the injuries. The pitching is the pitching. Defensively, they're a mess. Guys can't throw to the right base. Catchers can't catch or tag. Guys are flirting with no hitters. It feels like on an every other day basis. Yeah, I said it last night to Ben. Like, when you watch an Orioles game day to day, what is the one thing that you can look forward to that you know that they're going to do right? There isn't one. Right. So until they at least get that, they're in the D minus world for me.
You hear that, Rob? Cordell said they passed. So did I, Cordell. I had him at a D minus because of the injuries. You know, like, yeah, it's been rough.
I didn't even think about it in terms of them maybe passing with that D minus. Now, high school me would have definitely thought about that as a passing grade.
Cordell, when can we hear you again on the radio?
Yeah, we'll be back next Thursday. So we'll see what the Orioles look like by then. And still kind of that dry period of the NFL season, but I'm sure they'll give us some sort of news. And the NBA wasted no time getting their offseason going, so we'll see who's found a new home by the time we get to our next show.
Thanks a lot, Cordell.
Thanks, guys.
All right, 410-583-1057 is the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Jennifer Grandal, Senior Vice President of Communications for the Baltimore Orioles, will join us at 9 o'clock. We'll look at the O's Rays series that begins tonight on Apple TV. We'll do that at 8:45. But on the other side, Ed Norris, we're giving out shovels.
Yes, I'm going to give my shovel to the Florida Panthers. Seems like they've laid out quite a blueprint for the rest of the NHL.
There you go. You gave us some more today.
There you go.
Thank you. Thank you.
I wasn't going to.
Thank you very much.
The print is blue.
If you have a shovel, give us a call. Give us a text, 410-583-1057. Hit us up on Twitter at BBMS1057. The Fan. Shovels next. Time to give out shovels. If you have a shovel, give us a call. Give us a text, 410-583-1057. Hit us up on Twitter at BBMS1057. The Fan, Ed Norris, will get your shovel.
The Florida Panthers, who have resurrected the Broad Street Bullies. This is a very cool story, in my opinion, because you know how I feel. I love hockey. Probably my favorite sport of the four majors. And one of my favorite teams of all time were the Flyers when I was about 13 years old, and they were called the Broad Street Bullies. Dave Schultz, Jim Kelly, they were the toughest team around, winning the Stanley Cup. They were, like, awesome. Well, now the Florida Panthers have given the blueprint, I think, to the rest of the NHL about how you win the Stanley Cup now. They hire all these guys like, you know, like Tkachuk and Marchand and, you know, bully. I mean, they're tough guys and bullies. How are we going to look? You know, Aaron Ekblad. Sam Bennett. These are tough guys. And they end up just, you know, beating the crap out of the Oilers and going on to win. Now, the Flyers, who have been kind of irrelevant for a long time, getting better, and I kind of like to see them do. I go to the Flyers games because it's so easy to get in and out of Philly to see the games. They have now hired, this is a fantastic story. I don't know how the rest of the league is going to feel about this. They've hired Andre Petrosky, the UFC fighter. Mm-hmm. People know him if you're a fan of the sport. And our own Johnny Cannoli, Johnny Garbarino. Remember Johnny was on the show with us, the dirty boxer from Philly?
Johnny was great, man.
Johnny's great.
Yeah.
He was great. I'm going to get him back on now. There's a photo of them on Barstool today because the Flyers now have hired them, apparently. At least they've hired Petrosky for sure. But Garbarino's in the pictures. I assume he's there too. And they're going to teach the Flyers how to fight better. So what do you think their plans are coming up for the next season?
That's crazy.
You're bringing a professional.
Hammer and sickle.
Yes, right.
Wrestling style.
Yes, that's right. Yep. And yeah, he has the hammer and sickle on him in a tribute to his grandfather. But yeah, that's who they brought in to train with them now. So the Flyers are actually going to be training to become better fighters because they watched what the Panthers did. It's very cool. But there's also a local tie in the photo. They were both. Johnny Garb's wearing a LifeMed hat, and Petrosky's wearing a LifeMed shirt. So I think the Flyers are teaming up with LifeMed as well. They're going to be trained with these guys, and LifeMed's going to do something with them as well to make the team better. So we have our own guys from LifeMed, Vinny and Kent.
That's cool.
Yeah, isn't that cool?
Yeah,
that was cool. The photo got my attention. Hey, they're both wearing LifeMed gear.
So hey, just, we shop at the same place.
Yeah, we shop at the same store. I want the white shirt with the gold letters, by the way, Vinny, that he has on. I wore my blue one yesterday. Just add that one.
Jeremy, who gets your shovel?
I'm going back, and I don't think I've ever done this. I'm giving another shovel to those a-holes that were White Sox fans yelling at Ketel Marte. So Ketel Marte has finally spoken up about this.
This is new evidence.
Yeah, so he's telling you his side of the story. You guys can believe what you want.
New discovery.
Yes. As he says, he was at bat. He saw the fan stand up on the dugout, yelled something about his mom. And I think Ketel Marte said something back. Well, your mom was texting me last night, and then the guy kept going. And the reason Ketel Marte feels like this was personal and this guy did this for a specific reason is when his mom died, he was playing against the Chicago White Sox in Chicago. So you're telling me on a random night, some guy brings up Ketel Marte of all the players on the team, his mom, and yells something specific about her twice, and yet that jackass is joking. Like, let him in a room. I know we can't do this, but let him in the room with Ketel Marte and just see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
You know? See what happens. Say it now. You're a big man. They're like that texter, Mike C, that jackass. You're a big man. You text in. You text in dumb stuff that doesn't make any sense.
He kept texting.
Did he?
Did he really?
Yeah, because he's a coward. You are a coward.
No, the last time we did that, that person got in trouble with HR when they responded to texts.
Where's his initials? JC, like mine?
That's Jesus Christ.
No, he didn't call him on air. He didn't call him on air. He called him off air.
I used to call
from his personal phone.
From the phone here?
Yeah.
All the time.
You should get in trouble. You call him off air from your personal phone.
Yeah, some,
we're trying to call him from the station.
You know, maybe we should apologize for hurting Mike's feelings. Because apparently he was butthurt to send in those texts without his name. And then he stepped up and he told us his name was Mike C.
You know what they should do, getting back to your shovel, though, is just allow each player the opportunity to fight one fan each year. You get to pick one. You only get one, so you got to make sure you pick the right one. But
that's,
I think
like throwing over to first, right? You only get to throw over twice, and then you got to get him
exactly
out.
Yeah, just engagements.
Yeah. My shovel goes to speaking of jackass, the one on 695 yesterday. So I'm driving home from work. Guys, I am not exaggerating, Ed, in this description. I look up in my rearview mirror. There's a guy coming up behind me, light speed. He jumps over to the right lane. There was a car in front of me that was slightly ahead of a car that was in the right lane. Middle lane, right lane, slightly ahead of him. This jackass goes to the middle lane and squeezes by these two cars. I mean, it wasn't a full length. If either one of these cars would have moved slightly or not paid attention for a second, it would have been an accident involving those three cars, me, and everybody behind me. And I don't know. I don't know where you think you're going, but you're going. It's not important enough for you to put other people's lives in danger. The irresponsibility that people have with driving nowadays is mind blowing to me. It's mind blowing. This guy was like, he was going through. He was in such a hurry that when he got past these cars, there was a car in every lane, so he started driving on the shoulder of the road. Mm-hmm. How many times do you drive and there's a car, disabled car, on the shoulder of the road? So he would have hit that car, which would have caused an accident, to the next one. It would have been a chain reaction.
Mm-hmm.
But nobody thinks that far ahead. They only think about this right now. It's just, and most likely he was going nowhere because it was in a nice sports car. He was just showing off. Most likely nowhere important.
Yeah.
But there is no place important enough for you to drive that way.
There's not. You know what the problem is, too? We could do segments on this stuff. Never mind a shovel. Because it's every day. Every day somebody does something incredibly stupid.
My question also is this. Where's the law enforcement on the interstate, on the highway? How does this guy drive that far and there's nobody there?
I think they're relying on cameras too much.
Well, we have.
Because there's much. I'm with you. I think they should have troopers. Forget speeding is okay. Yeah, go. Okay, get them. But I think this kind of reckless driving, tailgating, all this stuff, way more important to pull people.
In the Essex Middle River area, they spend too much time on Eastern Boulevard. And dude, that's Baltimore County.
Yeah.
Get your ass on the highway.
Yeah.
That's where you belong.
Mm-hmm.
That's Baltimore County. You see too many of them in the residential business areas and not enough on 695 and 95. That's where you should be.
Yeah.
There should have been someone for the long stretch. This guy did this from Towson down to 95. Mm. That's where he was going. When I lost, and Towson is where I picked him up. And he's still scooting. He has to slow down, scoot. We pass the 43 exit. He's still slowing down, scooting through. And when we left the 43 exit is when I lost him.
Mm-hmm.
So he had to go in the direction, because right after that is Bel Air Road. He wasn't going that fast getting off at Bel Air Road.
Yeah.
So he had to go, I'm thinking, either 702 or some one of the 95s, one of them. And you go that long and there's nobody there? That's a problem. 410-583-1057 is the number. Let's go to Rosedale and get Antonio. What's up, Antonio?
Morning. How you guys doing?
Doing well. How are you?
Good. TGIF and PYT.
That's right. It's Friday now, man. What you got?
Will the Orioles try to extend the contracts of Gunnar Henderson and Adley Rutschman with the way they are playing and the way the Orioles are playing? And you guys have a fantastic weekend.
Thank you. You have one, too. I don't think it's the responsibility of Rutschman, or I should say Gunnar lays on the Orioles. Gunner's going to have what Gunner wants. If I'm Gunnar Henderson, I'm not signing an extension now. I'm not, because I don't know the direction that the organization is going now. Why would I sign an extension? I'm not doing that extension right now. If I'm Adley, man, with the way the Big Dumper's playing, I don't know.
What a big ass, man.
That's what you're going with?
Oh, what a great baseball player. A big old dumper on him.
Oreo Senior Vice President of Communications Jennifer Grandal joins us at 9 o'clock. But on the other side, we'll take a look at the Olds Rays series up next on The Fan. I'm glad you didn't play this the next segment. That would have been a little awkward. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on The Fan. Ed Norris, Rob Long, Jeremy Conn. Let's see, we had Antonio. We got MJ now. It's officially Friday. The Baltimore Orioles play tonight. This game is going to be on Apple TV. Apple TV telecast. Rays versus the Orioles. You think about this pitching matchup tonight, Jeremy?
Well, so it kind of goes back into what I said.
Pepio.
Pepio just shut him down. He looked so dominant last time. But I feel like when we have these situations, and granted, we could be wrong because the Orioles just can't hit at times, that usually when you face a guy a second time after he was this good against you, that now you make your adjustments and you bounce back.
Right.
And I like the Orioles to win tonight. The Rays have just been, they've been playing some ugly baseball. I feel like they either score 12 runs or they score 2 or 0. You know, it's like there's not a much in
between. Or they go down 8-0 and come back and win 12-8.
That happens as well.
That did happen.
This Rays team, you have a couple guys. You talked about Aranda that you really like.
I love him.
I love Junior Caminero.
He's lovable.
Yeah. I mean, and I even like the kid Simpson, who's going to, if he played every game in Major League Baseball or a full, he would lead the league in stolen bases. The kid just, he came up for a week and had like 5, you know, and they sent him back down and just called him up. But just have to see how their pitching holds up. Their pitching's been really, really good for them.
It has been.
Shane Baz has not been good, and he was great yesterday.
Pepio, 3.04 ERA. Yeah, so he's not just beating up on the Orioles. He's beating up on a lot of people.
He's beating up a lot of people. He looked great against the Orioles. But I mean, it's a good, that team is the one, and I say this, I say it every year, so it's not, but they surprise me every year, though. I always think, like, whatever. They're always good. Nobody goes to watch the games. The payroll's tiny. You don't really, I mean, they have a handful of players whose names people know around, you know, the country. But they're always good, and they're good again. If they're, you know, they're a half game behind the Yankees right now. They're 7-3 in the last 10. They went 3 in a row. I'd rather not be playing them right now, but whatever. I mean, it's a very interesting franchise. I'll
interesting
say that.
Is a word. It is a word.
Yeah.
And let me ask you this: It looks like Sagano needs those six day rotation.
Rotation. Yeah.
What do you think that does to the rest of the staff?
You know, it's a problem because if you know he comes from a country where they have a 6-man rotation to a place where it's a 5-man rotation, so everyone else here is used to pitching on 5 days rest. Not sick. I don't know what it does to them. I mean, could it improve them if they go to 6 days, or could it, throw them off the routines? You know how players are just so much the creatures of habit and routine, and they don't like being thrown off. And
yeah,
it's, I don't know how that's going to work out.
Jeremy brought this up before the season began, and I think people thought he meant it as if he was going to fail, but it was not. It was this in mind. And you asked, would he end up in the bullpen? And this is pretty much why. Not because you thought he failed.
No, no, no.
Yeah. Because you thought he's going to eventually wear down because of the five-man rotation.
Well, what have we seen? So, like, everybody wanted to trade for Garrett Crochet. What happened to Garrett Crochet when he made the transition from the bullpen to a starter? What happened to Chris Sale when he made a transition from a bullpen to being a full-time starter? Is that you got to stretch these guys out, and they make wholesale decisions. Remember when Steven Strasburg came back from an injury?
Yeah.
And they said it was it an injury, or was it his first time being called up and pitching a full season? But at the end of the year, they were debating on whether they were going to pitch him.
Oh, no, no, that was the first. That was being called up, I think.
Yeah, so like they were. It's like, oh, he's pitched too many innings. You're doing the same thing I'm doing, because I remember both.
Yeah.
But this happens all the time, especially with the Japanese ball players when they come over here in a six-man rotation. But I think it messes up all the other guys. And it's kind of weird to see this team cater towards one player. I think he's important, but I can't do that. I can't cater towards one guy that's on a one-year deal unless I'm moving him. But now with you doing this, their team's going to go, I don't want to trade for that. How often is he going to pitch? I'm not changing my rotation. That's why I ultimately thought he would end up in the bullpen.
It had to have been after an injury, Jeremy, because that was 2012. And didn't Strasburg come up like 2010?
I don't remember when he came up.
I think he came up like 2010. So it had to have been injuries or something. But yeah, bottom line is, it affects everybody else when you do things like that. He came up 2010.
Well, I think there's something to be said about you know, having a player of his caliber. And I mean, do you want to push him? You don't want him to get hurt. And I'm sure there's concern on his part. But you went out and signed these guys. I mean, the Dodgers, they signed Sasaki. He was crying after one of the games because he had pitched so poorly, and then he went to the IL. Yamamoto, who's, you know, he's been as advertised. Kode Senga. Their first time over here for a lot of these guys, they go, are they going to last the full season? Are we going to have to do something? If you have visions of getting to the playoffs, I don't know how you rely on one of those guys, and I don't know how you tell the other four guys, hey, we're going to a six-man bullpen or six-man rotation.
See, I think it. If a guy's been pitching for a long time on a five-man rotation, putting him to a six-man rotation could have the same stress on him that moving him to a four-man rotation could. Because now you're still the bottom line is you're still taking him out of his routine.
Yeah.
And when you're talking about that arm, man, I mean, I see Orioles pitchers who start Thursday who's back out throwing Friday. So now do I not throw Friday because I got an extra day? So what do I do? Does my arm just lay there dormant? One day, I'm going to have one day of inactivity probably, or I'm going to do something every day and have too much activity. I just don't think it's a good thing for the starting pitchers. I don't.
I don't either. I just think routine is very important. I'm sitting here, I'm trying to do this on my phone, trying to figure out how to give him a six-day rotation and keeping everyone else on a five.
You can't.
I know, I'm trying. It's not working. I was going to take him out, you know, and just kind of insert him at 6 days and not have like a 1, 2, or 3 start. I'm trying to figure, but it's not working out for me right now.
You know, this, you almost have to. I mean, I agree with Jeremy. I mean, you almost have to have a bullpen game for him,
and then make him a spot starter when you can.
You got to have a bullpen game for him, man. It's not. But at the same time, he's one of your most effective starters.
Yeah, and that, again, like it's
can't win.
It's frustrating because you have something you like. There is something of value. Maybe somebody would trade for him, but ultimately, you know, most teams would put him in the bullpen and he'd pitch an inning or two here or there. Maybe a long relief spot if you get into it. You know, a spot start if somebody's hurt, like if he's ready. I don't know. I don't like the six-man rotation, especially where they're at right now.
Do you think with a guy like that, does it look as if maybe he's a little bit too complicated for your rotation? Do you start looking at that towards the future? Is the juice worth the squeeze?
I think I have a big problem with that. You know, like, I don't think it is, especially in a season where you're losing. And I'm sorry.
And that's what I mean. I don't mean overall everybody. Yeah. I mean now.
I just had something pop in my head. I can't believe the way Charlie Morton's been pitching. Could they trade him? Could somebody actually want him if you look at what he's done his last five starts? Mm-hmm. Because when they talked about the one-year deal, Sagana was mentioned as a trade candidate. How do you trade this guy if you're going to do that? I mean, maybe somebody
Sagana or Morton you're talking about now?
I'm talking about both of them. Like, right. Sagana, if you're telling everyone, hey, we got to go to a six-man rotation because he hasn't pitched this long before. Right. And I think people would have known that, but I'm not going to make a a statement to say that before the trade deadline. I'm going to let this cat pitch and not say anything.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sorry.
410-583-1057 is the number. At 9:15, Ed, I'm going to make Jeremy's head explode. Because I'm going to ask him a question. Now that the draft's over, who's better off? The Lakers or the Mavs? Oh. But on the other side.
Shut up, man. I'm not answering that damn question.
But on the side, we're going to talk to Orioles Senior Vice President of Communications, Jennifer Grandal, see what's going on The Fan.